You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Coming to you live from the scariest place I can think of, which is a world where everyone loves math and they gauge your worth on how well you understand Pythagorean theorem. 100%, it's hell for me. But you know what? Maybe it's not for Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Welcome to a brand new episode of Interdimensional RSS. My name is Travis.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. My name is Brandon.
My name is Brandon. Hey, everybody. How you doing?
Everybody, I somehow turned into like mid-90s Adam Sandler. Actually, take that back. Every era of Adam Sandler, I think, is actually more apropos. Welcome to the show, everybody.
We're going to make the podcast.
We have a show for you today, certainly. But before we do something where we talk about social media. We get that out of the way. So let's go ahead and start by saying you can find us on X.
For the last season of this podcast, you can find us on X at Rick and Morty Pod,
aka formerly known as Twitter. At Rick and Morty Pod. I'm going back and forth on this, Travis, but I'm like, I'm almost ready to pull the trigger on saying F it.
I'm opening threads a lot more, which you can follow us, Rick and Morty Podcast. Or Rick and Morty Pod over on Instagram, as well as on Threads. If you're still on Facebook, or maybe your grandparents are, you can go to facebook.com/Rick and Morty Podcast. Send us an email, rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com. Blue Sky, woo! Rick and Morty Pod.bluesky.social.
Blue Sky. So we do have some extra followers this week over at Blue Sky Social. Oprah ate my child, the bachelor PhD, and Swanee says, thanks for following me. Hoo!
That's that rhymed. That was beautiful, Brandon.
Thanks.
Head over to the subreddits, rickandmorty.reddit.com, the best subreddit possibly on the internet. Or you could go to our subreddit, which is a far, far second, rickandmortypodcast.reddit.com. Also go to our website. Rick and Morty Pod.com. I don't know why people would go to the website, but if you find yourself with a web browser open, why not check it out?
Let's talk about this every week, about how we don't know what we have it. We have it. SEO purposes.
If you want to see our crazy dance moves and not just listen to them in the audio format, you can go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm and you can see us moving our mouths and our faces. It does happen. Thanks to everybody who participates over on the YouTubes. Finally, a big shout out to our patrons over at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm, where you can catch bonus content, including post shows, where we talk about all sorts of things, including AI and the dangers of it, which we talked about last week.
That's right.
At length.
Or our avatars, it could have been either way.
It could have just been an AI generated post show. No telling. Thanks everyone that follows us on the internet, and thanks for being here, Brandon. How are you doing? You feel good? This is weird. We're recording on a different night at a different time. Ooh. Everything's loosey goosey.
Loosey goosey, indeedy doodly. Let everyone know. Disclosure time. We are recording this on Sunday night before it airs to the rest of you, America and the world.
Egads, how is that possible, Brandon?
Oh my gosh. What the great thing about this season so far is we get screeners for every, like, where the hell are we? We get screeners before now every before the episode actually airs, so we actually get a chance to think about it and digest it a little bit.
Which is, I'm sure, is shocking considering the level of insight that we bring to this podcast
each and every quantity week. Of content. But yeah, so we're doing this beforehand. I went to the Pomona swap meet earlier, Travis, and
ooh, did you meet any swaps?
Oh, I did. Yeah, we met. We swapped. My kid walked away. So I woke him up super early to go. We left at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's like about an hour away. I went with my dad.
Goodness.
And I was like, you know, in order to get him to be excited about a swap meet where we're looking for car parts for a 63 Corvette, I was like, I'm going to get $100 out of the ATM And I'm gonna give it to him. I'm gonna say, hey, you know, you can use this to spend on whatever you want at the swap meet. But at this,
a dangerous proposition.
You know what? I didn't tell him $100. I gave him $40. And then we were walking around. He's getting so bored. But then he found the thing he wanted. And I said, you can't have that. He's like, I got the money for it. I'm like, how much is it? Oh, it's $60. You don't have enough, right? Because I only told him 40.
He's like, I'm going to name her Gwendolyn.
At the end of the swap meet adventure, he's so bored. He's like, I want that thing. So we go back, see if we can haggle. The guy says, no, it's 60. I'm already losing money on the deal. And my son walks away with Hawkman from the DC comics.
Yeah.
The weapon he has. It's a battle mace with the ball and the spikes on it. So we're leaving the Pomona swap meet. My 11-year-old is walking with a metallic,
like a Viking.
I put a sweatshirt over it so people didn't call the police on us. Anyway, I didn't get anything, but he has a battle mace. So good job, Hawkman / myself.
Solid purchase. All right. Well, yeah. So it's Sunday. We've done our swap meet shopping. The laundry is in the dryer, and it is now time for us to talk about some semi-pertinent news.
It's semi-news.
Semi-news. Here we go. If you follow us over on Instagram or our social medias, you may have noticed that we were celebrating a special anniversary this last week. None other than 10 years of Rick and Morty, 90 more years to go. Holy cow, Brandon.
Yeah,
you brought this to my attention earlier in the week, and we're Johnny on the spot, ready to celebrate.
Yeah. The pilot episode aired December 2nd, 2013. I was almost said 2023. And I was like, 1993? No, that's not 10 years.
Nope. Time travel stuff has been shelved.
Not 2003 either. Yeah. So 2013, yeah. December 2nd. That's when the show premiered, and hell,
a decade.
That's 10 years, man. That's 10 years, a lot. And only 7 seasons, but we're almost there. We're going to get there.
It's wild to think about, because I mean, so many, Adult Swim, obviously tons of animated shows on Adult Swim, but just in terms of like adult animated comedies that really like have longevity.
Yeah.
It's a pretty exclusive club, especially a show that, in my opinion anyway, seems to continue to build upon itself and improve and get better. It ebbs and flows, sure. But I think what season 7 has presented so far is potentially some of the best Rick and Morty that's come out in a long time. And yeah. I'm really optimistic about where the show is going to go in its second decade.
That's right. Longevity is the key word there, because with everything coming off Max, because Max is great. Talking about like Frisky Dingo, Metalocalypse, Smiling Friends, and Teenage Euthanasia. A lot of shows that have been on Adult Swim for a long time, maybe a handful of seasons, and Space Ghost Coast to Coast, and now you have Rick and Morty. It's been a staple of Adult Swim now for a long time, but
yeah.
You know, this is part of that channel's identity at this point in time. So really cool. Congratulations to everybody who's ever worked on the show. Brian Newton, Ryan Elder, a handful of folks, several dozen handfuls.
But specifically those two.
Ryan Ridley. Okay, let me pull up the cast list.
Jacob Hare.
Lucas Gray. Kyung Yi Lim. Lots of people. Rob Schraub. Maybe Dan Harmon.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Eh.
Anyways, congratulations.
I don't have confirmation that he listens to the show. So, so everybody else.
Ryan Cohen.
Congratulations.
Yeah, Boothby. You know, like the people that matter. Ian Cardone.
But congratulations to everybody. Thank you for making such an amazing show. And it's definitely allowed us to have something to talk about for a long time and a long time to come. So, yeah, just congratulations to everybody. And to all the fans have supported the show for, since the beginning. Thanks for sticking with it. Like, I didn't even start watching until between seasons 2 and 3. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Well, all right. So this is semi-pertinent news. We have an actual episode to talk about, but we have a few extra topics to get into. Before we do that, the first thing is we're getting to the end of the year, Travis. And as everybody knows, the most important thing that happens at the end of every year in December is your Spotify playlist. Your recap.
Yeah, your Spotify Wrapped.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The year is coming to a close, and the only indicator is when you get that notification that your music app has been tracking you and all of your listening habits, and it gives you a condensed version in the form of Instagram stories.
That's right. So this next bit of news is a little bit of a shout out, is a bit of news, but also a short out at the same time. So Ryan Elder, he does this. He's done this every year since Snake Jazz has come out on Spotify. He wants somebody. Hey, if your number one played song is Snake Jazz on Spotify Unwrapped, then send me a screenshot, give me proof, and I'll give you $100, right? And
I love it.
So
which is probably more than he makes from Spotify for Snake Jazz.
Whoa, topical.
Ooh, getting spicy.
Which is what you need if you get scraped by a snake. Okay. Anyway, so the shout out portion is old Scary Terry Folds. He sent me a message on Instagram and he's like, look, I haven't done Spotify. I don't have a Spotify account except for trying to get the Snake Jazz for Ryan Elder. So he's like, that's all I play on there is Snake Jazz. But Spotify told me that I haven't had the account long enough for it to count for an Unwrapped. So I'm shouting out Scary Terry Fold because, dude, he was trying to get that Snake Jazz for you, Ryan Elder. So just throwing that out there.
It gives me a goal for 2024. If I just listen to Snake Jazz like once per day, that's easily enough to put it to the number one, bumping Taylor Swift out of the top spot down to number two.
Yeah. So old T-Swift. Okay.
Yeah. All right. What else we got? Reddit. What's on the Reddits?
All right. So with 10 years of Rick and Morty, I probably should have done this right after the 10 years of Rick and Morty bit, but I wanted to bring something back, right? So I'm going to shout out two things here. Well, three things, actually. So first and foremost, we have a couple of new mods over on the Rick and Morty subreddit because we've got a lot of stuff to moderate. Talking about the Dan Harmon post last week, we need moderators. So welcome to the new crew. But it also reminded me, we haven't done a Reddit post of the week in a while, and we haven't done it for the entirety of season 7.
Yeah.
So I want to do a couple, highlight a couple posts from 10 years and actually 12, the subreddit started in 2012. So the first one is 88,000 upvotes. It's by some account post, and it's during the height of COVID, and it's just a quick in and out adventure. Rick and Morty go into the portal, and then they come out, and they're wackadoo. It's basically about lockdown. It's like COVID. 2 weeks, we'll be out of this. They came out, and they're like, oh no, lockdown. Now,
yeah,
so
yeah, that lasted 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Yeah, tell that to Halloween indoors.
So that was a post from all time. That's one of the highest upvoted posts of all time. Now the highest upvoted one of the highest upvoted posts in the last year, because we didn't do season 7, I figure hell, we'll do the year, is from a user JR_97. It's a picture of Jerry, and it says one of the most relatable things Jerry ever said. I'm easy to make happy, which is why nobody gives a shit if I am. That's right. 25,000 upvotes in the last year. JR97. Good job for you. And that is our Reddit post of the week and month and all time year. Okay.
Post of the decade.
Ooh.
Yeah, I said it. Yeah, I said
you
it.
Did. You did.
Congrats.
You know what else you should say, Travis? Is
what's that?
It's a Dan Harmon social media minute.
Dance on the internet. He's posting social media minutes. All right, here's the deal. Dan, he's on Instagram. He's on Threads. If you're not on Threads, make sure to go check it out at Dan Harmon over there. And he's using this time of thanks, right? Thanksgiving was about a week ago, week and a half ago. And he's using Thanksgiving as a time of reflection, a time to get his social media in line. So this post from Dan Harmon, it says exactly that. He's using Thanksgiving to reshape my Threads feed. If you share my interests and can recommend accounts in a reply, I'd be thankful. I like factory video games, especially Satisfactory.
Great game.
Crossbows, electric motorcycles, not e-bikes, electric bikes that can kill me. Drinking, DIY stuff, woodworking / carpentry, cute animals, other people's workshops of any kind, especially if you're Batman. Technology, engineering, prepping without the racism, and I want to learn gardening and welding, and I'm out of room. So there you have it.
There you go.
A small collection of all the things that Dan Harmon is interested in a segment we like to call Dan Harmon Social Media Minute.
That's right. So if you're interested in helping reshape his Threads feed, go out to his Threads and help him out. I've been seeing this a lot on Threads. It's like people like posting like, these are the things I'm interested in, and the algorithm will see this and then it'll start reshaping my feed. I don't know if it's true, and I don't want to, it's like feels chain lettery, so I don't want to partake in that. but
it's also a great way to get like a bunch of the bots and stuff that Threads will just throw at you because you don't follow a lot of people. You could probably get that out of your feed pretty quickly. I would assume.
Yeah, I would assume too. Anyways, we got a show for you.
We have a show.
After this.
That's right. We do have a show. We're going to talk about the latest episode of Rick and Morty as soon as we come back. So stick around and listen to an ad. Hopefully you get one. Maybe not.
Hopefully.
We'll see.
Hopefully we get money.
All right. Be right back. Bye. All right. Thank you for listening to that ad and or ads or lack thereof of ads. We are back and we are ready for everybody's favorite segment. It's a segment we like to call the main thing.
It's the main thing.
The main thing.
So much bass.
I don't go bassy normally, Travis.
I know. It's not typically not your thing.
Honestly,
you like to mix it up.
Here, I saw the Millennium Falcon and the X-wing that are hanging from my ceiling right now, and I'm like, you know what? Let me do like the Imperial March. But then I was like, no, I don't want to copy it straight up. So let me just go down instead of going dum. I went lower.
Smart. This week's episode, episode 8 from season 7, which is unbelievable that we only have 2 episodes left.
Yeah,
the season is flying by. Rise of the Numericons. Numericons.
Numericons. I just say Numericons.
The B is silent.
Yeah.
Rise of the Numericons, the movie. Air date, December 3rd, 2023, written by the one and only Rob Schraub. Directed by Lucas Gray, guest stars Ice-T, Keith David, and Peter Serafinowicz. Jessica Parker.
Yeah. Michael Sarah. Yeah, he's you
listen,
might
listen. This is why Brandon says the names.
It's true.
All right.
It's true. I look up the names.
Every time I try to come back, I can't do it. Rob Schraub is as close as I can get.
Yeah, you might know Peter Serafinowicz from The Tick or the Pickle Rick episode or Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah. I looked him up when I typed his name out in the show notes. I did not look up pronunciation.
No, that's true. And honestly, I probably said it wrong as well. So our synopsis, action, adventure. It's a whole movie, bruh. Our
that's
synopsis.
Right.
It's a whole lot of numbers and letters.
Bruh. That's right. And this before we get into the details of this episode, I want to take us back for a moment to the summer of 2023 in a little town called San Diego, where Brandon and I had the privilege of sitting through a delectable hour of insight and information that is the Rick and Morty panel at San Diego Comic-Con. This was at a time when writers were on strike, actors were on strike. We didn't know who was going to be on the panel. We didn't know what could or couldn't be shown. And the sneakiest peek that we got, I think, was the animatic for the opening sequence of this episode. And I will say, from the time that we saw it this summer, I was very excited to see what this episode would look like and how far they would go with certain things and just how this episode would play as a standalone experiment for Rick and Morty.
Yeah, yeah. What I think is a side note, what I think is also interesting about them showing that the clip for the cold opening for this episode at Comic-Con, which it was very safe because they didn't have new voices. Yep. And also it's safe from a lore perspective. There's this episode, as we'll get into, it's the ultimate bottle episode. It has nothing to do with there's like no character development or anything. It's no character development for the main characters, I think, but you know, we'll see. So I think it was a perfect episode for them to highlight for the animatics at Comic-Con for the crowd and still get them rallied behind the show to excited to have it come back. So you were going to say something. You gasped for half a second.
I think it's really interesting.
You're going to say something. You gasped for a second.
Sorry, I put a big breath in and then thought better of it.
That's how we know that we want to say something else to each other. So just, you know,
breathe
inside podcast baseball. Like, I know that Travis, because, you know, we're on Zoom. And so sometimes we don't know when the other person is going to talk. Right. But here's how we know. And here's how you know. It's kind of like in film, right? You see the cigarette burns. Well, for us, it's the
oh no, we both breathed in at the same time.
Okay, anyways,
the thing about this episode and the reason that we're recording on a Sunday and not a Monday after the episode has already come out is my fault. It's because I have family in town and I have other things going on. But I am very curious to see what the fan reaction will be to this episode, because it is a standalone. It's not centric to that any overarching plots. Obviously, like, we don't really know what the overarching canon is right now. Rick Prime was defeated halfway through the season. Mm-hmm. So we really don't know, like, what is in store. But to take something so small like the closeout of the Get Swifty episode and completely expand it into this epic, fully developed story with its own lore, its own context, and then to do that, and I mean, credit to Schraub for coming up with the idea and arguing with whoever he had to argue with to make sure that this happened, to condense an entire action movie down into what is essentially like 22 minutes and follow all of the beats and do everything that you would expect in an action movie. It's just really fantastic. And I think it's a great piece of television.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. When the iced tea bit in the original Get Swifty episode, like it turned into, I care now. And then the after credit scene, you'll see them again in Rise of the Americans, right? Like, cool. What a after credits fun gag. Think of all the other end credit fun gags that we've had throughout the series, that like any one of those things can turn into its own like little idea for an episode later on down the road. That's kind of a cool kind of thing to think about. But the fact that we have an episode that takes all of that and says, hey, let's have a battle between words and numbers and make it into a sci-fi action movie concept for Rick and Morty, I think it's super cool. So theme-wise, There are a few themes, but even though it is a bottle episode, you know, in order to keep episodes of any kind of content interesting, you have to have some kind of thematic thread, right?
Sure.
So we want to talk about a few of those things. First off, what we've been alluding to, this whole sci-fi action movie concept, it's like kind of, this episode kind of takes a, not a dig, but like a stab at like throwing as many of these kind of tropes as it can into the mix.
All the things that you expect to see in a classic sci-fi action movie, there's flavors of it throughout. And for them to really write it like as the movie itself, and yes, Morty's in it, yes, you know, Goldenfold's in it, but they really just like the context of it, this could stand on its own in some sort of universe. This could be fleshed out to a full-length film and actually be shown. I don't know how well it would do at the box office, but conceivably it could happen. And I think it's like really interesting. I was trying to think of what movies this reminded me most of. For some reason, Starship Troopers jumps out at me like immediately as a concept. But anywhere where you have like warring factions out in space, I mean, you could do like the easy like Star Wars, but even like a Dune or something, yeah. Like some of that's in there.
Well, like sci-fi action movies, you know, they start with like this opening kind of action, right, to set the stakes for what's going on, right? I mean, like Beverly Hills Cop, you know, you got the initial action with Axel Foley, right? I watched Godzilla Minus One this last weekend. Which, by the way, very, 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 very good. I took the 11-year-old.
Thanks.
It's great. But that like that starts off with an action, right? So everything is there to set the stakes, the emotional stakes for the rest of the film. And this one's no different. And then thrown action in between there, betrayal, any like a Bond movie. You got some betrayal in there, yeah. And of course, action. Which let me just say this about the animation for this episode, all of that action shit is like, you know, continues to impress me how difficult it must be to work on
this show. This had to be a tough one, right? And especially like, you know, we've heard from a lot of the creative folks on the show and the things that go into it, like it's not like we have a cast of normal characters outside of maybe Ice-T, Water-T, and Morty and Goldenfold. Yeah. Most of the characters in this episode were brand new. So the character design team is, I'm sure, working, you know, like crazy. And then you have to create entire new environments, whole new planets. So you've got, you know, different backgrounds and things that they're developing. And then from a story perspective, like, all like we've been saying, all the things are there, right? These warring factions, you have the numbers versus the letters, you have like a quest. There's this object that they have to figure out what it means and figure out how there's backstabbing and the betrayal, like you mentioned, with a secret villain, like all of those things, like which is what could make up a whole movie. They cram into now, they laugh about how quick it moves at times and sort of point out how they're making really good time with some of the stuff because they don't like hang in certain tropes for too long. But I think that just adds to the enjoyment for me, that they're laughing along with us at how fast some of this stuff is moving.
Yeah. For sure. You know, kind of moving on just from the action movie concept or the thematics, right? And I think we use that term kind of loosely for some of this. I'll get into the one where it actually applies in a second. But the letter and numbers, we talk about the art from the math, well, from the action perspective, right? How difficult that must be. But from like a world building perspective, like they have an entire society of Alphabetrium that they have to build up, the architecture, how the architecture works, how the school system works, right?
The lowercase letters.
Well, you know, like those are like the children. I'm not sure if you understand that.
Yeah. Do you only tell them those stories at bedtime?
Hey, don't punish me because I'm trying for clarity here. But I loved just the sheer amount. And I think we can have an entire episode dedicated only to pointing out how many letter and number puns there are throughout.
There's a point as I was writing down some of my favorite bits where I was like, I have to skip some of these puns and things, because there's so many things that just, especially the first time I heard them, it just cracked me up.
It's a dad joke haven. Heaven.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Especially if you're a math or an English teacher or combined. Just the way they, the building the numericons as ships, to be the hashtag, right? The number symbol. Or like saying the Helvetica hyperdrive, which that stupid documentary. I hate that documentary, but I know you love it.
But it's a great font, great typeface for sure.
all that stuff is so wonderful to me.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. It adds another layer to the absurdity and just my enjoyment of the episode for them to, because they could have just played it with normal dialogue, but the number of rewrites I'm sure they had to go through to like punch that up and I wonder how many didn't make it in, right? I'm sure there's plenty that they came up with that they're like, no, it's too much, we can't do that one.
You know what, this is a good episode for when, like, if you had hid your kid in a closet for 13 to 14 years, never learned a language, never learned any numbers or math, this would be a good episode to introduce them to. Be like, hey, welcome to the actual world. Now, this is Sesame Street for you, right? It's because basically obviously that's an absurd situation. Don't keep anybody in your closet for 13 years.
He or 14. She would be like one of those goo-gahs on that one planet.
But it's like we talk about our kids, Yo Gabba Gabba, how Yo Gabba Gabba is like a learning experience for kids, but it's like it's still got like a bunch of adult references with any of the Aquabats and Pajama Party Time, stuff like that. But like there's so much to like glean from this episode from like an adult English and math perspective.
Which is so funny, because we talk about them as dad jokes, but there's a lot of references in here that you'd completely miss if you didn't have a decent understanding of language and math and I'm curious.
I've only known negative numbers for so long.
I'm genuinely curious because Rick and Morty is a global show with a following all around the world. How well or how poorly will this episode play with like non-English speakers or people that use, other alphabets? So I'm curious.
That's true. That's true.
If a lot of it just won't play as well, or they'll have to figure out some creative translations for it.
I've wondered that about like the Naked Gun series or from the Files of Police Squad, like where there's so much wordplay that it's like this might be lost in translation when it comes to different languages and stuff like that. All right. Anyways, the last thing the one thing that I actually wanted to talk about thematically wise is, here's something really interesting. We don't see Rick at all, with the exception of the intro. Rick is not in this episode.
Yeah.
At all. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
This, I don't know what other episode Rick hasn't been in the episode at all. Maybe
that's a good trivia question. I'm not entirely sure. There's got to be one.
They're called, I would think. Here's your call to action, aka CTA. If there are any other episodes where we haven't seen Rick at all, go ahead and shoot that to any of our social media. I'd love to hear it. But anyway, so Rick's not in there. We have Morty, we have Goldenfold, and we have Water T. And the story is really about Water T and Goldenfold's relationship. Yeah. And I put in here into the show notes, teaching is hard. We see Mr. Goldenfold try to impart lessons onto Morty periodically throughout the episode, to varying degrees.
And it's so good too. It's the best.
That's one of my favorite bits. His reaction to Morty when he's talking about you learned your lesson. Looks like detention's over. But you know, he's trying to impart this wisdom. His whole conflict is with Water T, or Ice T at the time, or like yeah. about how he's not wanting to learn math. He's not doing his homework. He's not learning. And you know, from a teacher's perspective, you know, we know teachers. Some of you out there are teachers. We know your job is hard, and it has to be even harder when something you're so passionate about is like just going past, like, I guess as parents too, right? Like,
sure.
This is a teaching moment. And like, I don't want to learn right now. I'm like, well, you have to learn. Like, well, I don't want to learn.
This is math. You gotta know math.
Like, don't crash your car into the courthouse. It's not good. Like, Dad, I don't want to hear right now. I don't want to hear a lesson. You know,
Tonight before we started recording, my son was like, when am I ever going to have to find the value of X in real life? And I just stared at him and looked at him and was like, all the time.
X is all.
X is variable for everything.
It's the alpha and omega of your variables. Put apples in there. Put your stock. your contributions.
Stock portfolios in there. Your tire pressure, I don't know. But yeah, so teaching is hard. Teaching is difficult. And it's difficult for a myriad of reasons. One of the things highlighted in this episode is like miscommunication and just the way people talk to each other and like expectations from other people, right? Like the relationships that we have with our family versus the people like our teachers or people that we work with, right? In this episode, we have an example of that where, you know, Goldenfold is developing a relationship with Ice-T, teaching him things about 4-4 time and things like that, right? But Ice-T's family on Alpha Beatrium doesn't like that, and it creates, you know, stress and problems in his life. And so this all kind of creates a dynamic where they have issue with each other, but they're not being transparent about why they have problems with each other.
Yeah. Why do they have problems with each other? And, you know, it's because Goldenfold never asked, but also Ice-T never communicated that with him either. So that's the thing.
So much pent up rage.
You have to talk to each other, everybody, especially if you're a cosmic being who turns to ice and water, or you're Mr. Goldenfold, if you're a teacher. I put in here in the subtitle for Teaching is Hard is AKA Mr. Goldenfold's Opus, which is a title reference to Mr. Holland's Opus starring Richard Dreyfuss in the mid 90s. In the sense that he wants to feel appreciated for the one thing he's good at. He's not good at a lot of things, but what he is good at is math, you know, that.
Yeah, and maybe eating his own poop.
And coprophagia. I did put that in the show notes earlier. I took it out. You know, like that's what he's good at. And like he feels that and he wants to impart that wisdom onto everybody. Morty is the worst person at math that he's ever taught. And by the end of the episode, all these nuggets of wisdom he's trying to get Morty to understand, maybe he doesn't get all that. But what he does get is liking math at the end, where he wants to do his homework and lava tea. Or
can I have another test for fun? In terms of bottle episodes, I think that fact is one thing that will remain strictly in this episode. I don't think we're going to suddenly turn a corner in this show where Morty is suddenly really into math moving forward. I just going out on a limb, I'm taking a risk here, but I don't see it happening. I could be wrong. Love to be wrong.
Yeah.
Prove me wrong.
Yeah. I don't want to say that was the last thing because I do have a note here looking for acceptance in a cruel, cruel world where we don't belong. That was a joke note that I put in there. And what I was thinking about when I wrote that was, the kind of like end game Thanos, Nebula, where like they have a father that sucks and Ice-T also has a father that sucks, you know. Water Q or whatever.
I forget. Magma Q.
Magma Q. That's right. And you know, we talk about teachers, and we just talked about being parents. Parents are teachers too. And sometimes we're going to damage our kids in ways that, you know, we may not know until later in life. Like my son, where I told him, you can't have that battle mace. And then all of a sudden I was like, he's about to cry. I'm like, oh no, let me go ahead and get that for him. Also, don't show your kids The Mist if they're 11, because that ending will destroy them, and then they'll give you shit about it for a long time.
Life lessons with Brandon.
Okay. Anyways, let's get into our favorite bits, Travis. Let's go ahead and start.
Favorite bits. Bits.
Favorite.
Yeah, there are a lot here. And the first one, oddly enough, is one I didn't notice in any of the rewatches that I did. So this is a very good catch, Brandon.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Travis. As somebody with a TI-86 for years, a calculator, the first calculator that we see attacking Alpha Beetrium, it has the numbers 58008, which for eagle-eyed viewers,
and any middle school boy will tell you, if you turn that calculator over, it spells boobs.
Boobs. Also, if you do 17-31707-1, it spells I love you upside down. So there's your mid-90s I had a pager trivia.
Here's your pager code tip of the week. 143, everyone.
The second one I really liked was the little bit where Morty is getting dragged into the adventure with Goldenfold, and he's like, what? He's just bitching about detention. He's like, it's called detention, not release chin. Goldenfold. It's such a stupid joke, but I enjoyed it.
In the initial attack, the global defense system is known as the bracket shields. And it's just these giant brackets that go up around the planet and can somehow stop the numbers.
Why they don't go in between the brackets? Doesn't matter, because they're bracket shields.
It's a rule. It's a rule. This character was voiced by Ryan Ridley. Yeah. It definitely sounded like a Ridley voice. But this is Water T's co-pilot and friend, the letter P, who typically starts every interaction with, sorry, I'm late. I had to go pee, which he repeats several times, and they deconstruct the joke numerous times up until the end when he's like, hold on. Let me go pee first, because when we get there, well, I'm not going to spoil it for you.
I love that gag. I miss this one, Travis, this next one. Why don't you talk about that?
This is when Goldenfold is teaching, and it's the second instance where Goldenfold is teaching the importance of math, but this is in a flashback when Ice-T is in the class. And he says, without math, Russia would control all the Rubik's Cubes. Which maybe it's true, I guess.
it may be true. But there's a good documentary about Rubik's Cubes on there about the speed Rubiksing. I don't remember what it's called.
Fascinating. So. Fascinating.
Kill the son of Magma Q. I want his serifs. Yes.
Dropping the term serifs just hit me right in the old feels as a graphic design major.
Travis, can you here's something that I didn't know for a long time. As someone who's in graphic design, can you explain to the audience the interesting concept behind serifs? Can you tell us what serifs are?
What are serifs?
Yeah.
Serifs are a element of a letter, right? Of a written letter that occasionally helps with readability, right? And these, if you're looking at say the letter T, right? In a Times New Roman, a font we're all familiar with, those little dangly bits on the ends of the T, Those are the serifs. So if you look for a sans serif font, that would be a font sans serifs or without serifs. Say like your Helvetica, you're just going to have straight lines there with no dangly bits. So those dangly bits are your serifs. Teaching is hard. It's a theme of this episode.
Teaching is hard. I don't know why you explaining serifs is so fucking funny to me. It's so boring. Anyways, yeah, serifs are the dangly bits on fonts.
The interesting thing is numbers can have serifs too. That's so, right. That's right. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Something that makes both the Alphabetrium and the Numanacarons or whatever, they're the same.
Oh, dang. all right, let's move on from serifs. She's got a caps lock.
This is just another pun. This is just another great pun.
So
many dad jokes.
Golden Fold's insistence on getting Water T's homework throughout the entire movie. We're going to call it a movie from now on.
Yeah.
It's just like that. That's his thing. That's his fatal flaw is getting Water T's homework turned in.
I don't know if you wrote this in later, but the conclusion of that arc when he actually gets Ice-T's homework at the end of the episode, he's like, fine, here's my homework. And he's like, thank you. And he's just marking it all wrong and putting an F on it. But like, he's satisfied because he at least turned it in.
That's right. It's the important part is that you've put in the effort. It's not so much that you're failing. It's that you're putting forth the effort, right? Because if you put forth effort, that means you're learning. It means you're growing as a person, exactly. as a pedagogue. Okay. So I don't know if I've used that word correctly. I love this bit, which is the back to the future bit with the, yo, Chuck, it's Marvin. I got this.
Your cousin.
Your cousin. It's your cousin. I got this great new sound that you're looking for. And then he puts the phone to his butt and then he farts.
The levels of this gag are what get me. It's the... if they had just done, hey, yo, Chuck, it's Marvin. And like, if they had just played it verbatim from Back to the Future, I would have died. But then for them to do the fart gag on it, just like turns it on its head. And then for them to like go out of it with Morty doing commentary on it.
Yeah.
And like, just being like, you think he'd stop answering the phone?
Like, that's not important, Morty, but you included him in your story.
Yeah, to me, that's got Schraub all over it. Yeah, credit to any writer that had something to do with that. Yeah. It's great. It's amazing.
that might be my favorite little bit out of this one. Now, so we talked about this one earlier, like we kind of referenced it, the lowercases letters bit, looking for clarity.
Yeah.
That one's in there.
Yeah. It's a story we tell lowercase letters at bedtime.
No, we would have gotten it. Yeah. Like, you know, lower letters, obviously our kids like, well,
yeah, they're smaller. Yeah.
In quotes, secret villain.
Yes. When, what was it? Like vapor S, cloud S or something. When he's like, I'd be happy to help. In quotes. Secret villain. Yeah. This is, of course, you know, Peter
Serafinowicz,
you know, coming in clutch. Yeah. great work.
Yeah.
Fan of the podcast.
Okay. What do we got next? We have Making Really Good Time. We talked about that one a little bit earlier.
Yeah. This is when they go to the planet with what they call the Googas, and when they immediately start worshiping the idol and then immediately take them back to their camp to like celebrate. And Morty's just like, wow, we're making great time. Like, oh, wow. It's going really fast. Okay.
That's a good bit. This next one. In the show notes, you put cockadoodle, but you missed the second part of that gag, which is cockadoodle two, the number two. It's the second cockadoodle. Yes. And it's just the doodles that are dicks. They're just dick doodles.
I don't know how they got those doodles past standards and practices.
I'm saying, dude.
But I'm amazed.
I'm impressed.
I'm amazed.
I'm impressed you got two dicks. And I say that knowing that there are so many dicks in the backgrounds as like part of infrastructure and shapes. I saw a post on Reddit the other day in the scene of where Rick is younger and he's kind of like that cyberpunk and he's like eating the noodles. The other episode where like the other alien chick is doing the same thing in the background.
Slow Mobius.
Yeah. There's an alien in the background who's like his head is turned away from us, and it's a dickhead. It's clearly in the shape of a dickhead. So, anyways, shout out to the backgrounders for showing dicks. Okay, so look, we know we've talked about President, we've talked about Keith David so many times, but you know what? We haven't talked about him before his presidency.
And we see that as a lowly governor. You know, just on his meteoric rise in politics, when he's just trying to support math and get hip hop artists to shout out math in their
here
acceptance speeches.
Have some more baby potatoes. What I love is that when he gets mad at Golden Fold, then he grabs the baby potatoes and puts them back on the tray.
The bit with the baby potatoes is probably the best part of that whole flashback sequence. It's so good.
I love baby potatoes. Let me tell you, that would have been the worst part of that dinner for me is him taking.
So it really hurts. That's what sticks with you. Absolutely.
What do we got next?
Water tea's really pleasant sounding insults. I'm trying to remember who he was yelling at when he was saying these.
To Goldenfold. He was saying them to...
Goldenfold?
Yeah.
He says, I'll F you till you love me. I'll put your kids through college. I'll take you to Boca Raton. Like, okay. I mean, that sounds like a pretty good deal, actually. Let's go.
The first couple times I heard it, I thought he was saying that he did that for him already. Like, that he F'd him until he loved him. I put his kids through college. He took him to Boca Raton. I thought he had done those things. And then I finally watched it. I was like, oh, no, he's somehow insulting him.
He's threatening him with really good things.
Speaking of really good things, you know, it's something we all learn as kids when we look at the number 8 sideways. In that 8 turns into infinity. Who knew? Who knew?
Who knew? Who knew? You take an S, you add a couple extra lines, now it's an 8.
Damn.
Flip it on its side, it's infinity.
Holy shit.
Look at that. Look at the things that we learn in this episode. It's amazing. there's a line that like talks about how infinity killed both of our parents.
I was there. Like, the ceiling fell on them.
That ceiling was poisoned. That's the next. The ceiling was poisoned. It's absurdity at its best.
Doesn't make sense. And then of course magma tea, when he changes into magma tea, spitting straight fire.
Yeah, and calling it out, magma tea is spitting straight fire. Hell as yeah. He hell yeah. Shoots fire out of his mouth.
And he
so many good parts.
He follows through with shooting him in the balls.
He does. graphically.
I'll throw this in there as a favorite bit. Is how quickly Water T and Seven get into 69ing.
Like immediate.
And you know, just the fact like the 69, that it's like another numbers joke. just getting into it right away, and just like her like her mouth on the side of the water.
It's graphic. It's weird because it's numbers and letters. Mm-hmm. But yeah. the things the show gets away with. It's amazing. Speaking of things the show gets away with, let's talk about some of the best and worst parts of the show. I think I got nothing but love for this one. The first being that annoying little decimal point. I love that guy. When he like breaks the fourth wall and he's like, I love working with these guys. It's my day off. I'm not, you know what
I'm
saying?
Supposed like, to be working here today. Do it like from Clerks.
Yeah.
the annoying decimal point. I was trying to figure out as I was watching it, like he's supposed to be annoying. He's supposed to be kind of like a Salacious Crumb type character, right?
Absolutely.
And I was like, oh, there's always that annoying decimal point. And like,
which like the big bad, like the big zero, was he called the Dreadnought?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that a word for zero?
Why would you quiz me live while we're recording?
Call to action, aka CTA. Somebody smarter than us, let us know what that means.
All right. Moving on to best parts. I don't know. I think this is one of my favorite parts. It's Golden Fold teaching Ice-T 4/4 time and how bad Ice-T is at rapping until he knows 4/4 time. One, how did Ice-T get into a recording booth with Marvin D without being a good rapper in the first place? But you know, then like just the 4/4 time of it as a half-assed musician, I love the fact that there's a music joke within this episode. And going back to Get Swifty, like all Get Swifty being a huge music episode, this being now like an extension of that music episode, and then going into the last best part that we have in here, best worst part, the rap at the end with Ice-T and Golden Fold, which is like a recap, like an unofficial spiritual sequel to Get Swifty.
Yeah, you got Morty, you know, on the turntables. You got the whole rest of the crew out there with mics, with a great kind of hip hop song to kind of bring the resolution of everything together. It's fantastic. It just really ties this whole episode together. The epic movie, worthy of a sequel, that they were able to sneak into the season. I think it's great.
And this, so our screeners didn't come with, maybe they do come with subtitles. Maybe I didn't click the button for them, but, I would love to know, to go back and re-listen and recapture all of the lyrics of that rap. Because it is a good rap, and it has so many references in there that are really, really cool. So anyway, that culminates in our favorite parts of this episode. For you out there, I'm sure you have your favorite worst bits. Shoot them over to any of our social medias that we've talked about before. Send them to our email. And we'd love to kind of mention you in the show for future episodes. So there we go. Travis, you want to finish this off with anything? You want to say anything else?
No. I think we've talked a few times recently about things like, you know, Interdimensional Cable, Morty's Mind Blowers, those types of like one-off episodes, or those episodes that seem not necessarily to fit in the normal structure of the show. And I think in a lot of ways, even though this exists technically within the canon of the show and Morty's there, this episode did feel very standalone and like taking an absurd idea and just running with it. And so I really appreciate that the creative team behind the show is willing to take those risks and willing to go out on a limb and say, yes, this is a hilarious idea. Yes, Rick won't even be in this episode, but let's run with it. And it just turned out to be a great episode. I really, really liked it.
Agreed. And you know, what else I liked is as far as Morty goes, I liked how it probably should have put this in our favorite bits. I loved how every time Morty was talking about things, he was like the voice of reason in all the situations. He was the one who's like, well, it's just it's a line, and it symbolizes, it's not a one or an I, it symbolizes that it's a line that like it doesn't matter if you're numbers or letters, like you're all together. Like, well, yeah. Who are you again? get Swifty. Like
the whole time he's trying to remind him that they know each other. Yeah, that's a good little bit as well.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, let us know what you thought of the episode. And we might highlight you in a little bit that we call listener suggestions and short outs. This week, the main short out I want to throw out to is Joel from Earth C137 over on Threads, actually. And that conversation is about he hadn't seen Total Recall. Sorry, I say he, they, sorry, don't know your pronoun. Joel mentions that he hasn't seen, I just said he again. They hadn't seen Total Recall. Okay. And that makes them not cool. Well, I'll tell you what, it does. It does make you cool because now you are unique to the world because everyone else in the world has seen Total Recall, but you haven't.
Literally everyone, Joel. Get it together.
Everyone. But all I said was, it doesn't matter if you haven't seen Total Recall because you're cool already. And then
you should probably rent it or find it on a streaming service. We shared, it's classic.
We shared some GIFs. It was a whole thing. Anyways, shout out to you, Joel. Woo! From Earth C137. Boo, 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 boo. All right. That's it.
I kinda don't really have any other short outs for this one other than just a big thanks to everybody that continues to support the show, writes us little notes and things like that. Whether that's in DMs or other like emails and things like it's really encouraging to us. It really helps us, just keep going, 10 years of this show. And we're sure that there are many more to come. So we're excited for your support. If you're new here and maybe this is the first season that you've been listening to the show, and you're not subscribed, maybe you're not subscribed out on YouTube or whatever podcatcher you listen to. Hit that subscribe button. Maybe leave a review. It definitely helps other folks to find the show, and it helps with our numbers there. So that's great. Like if you could do that or share it with somebody on your social media, that'd be amazing. 2 episodes left of season 7. It's going by so fast.
So fast.
And then it's that void of content that we have to cross.
It's going
until yet another season begins. But we're excited for it. And I know we have lots of exciting things coming.
It's going so fast because of the screeners. Like we've done this show for so long. I think this is episode maybe 175 or 176 for us. And we had been for so long where we're waiting till Sunday night, the new episode's coming out, and okay, now let's scramble to get content. And like with the screeners, we're like, we watch it, we get it fairly early on, and we can't really talk about it for another week. And we've made the decision to not post until the Monday still, like to be like, or at least after the episode's aired. And you know what that does is me being like, oh, a new episode this Sunday. Oh no, I've seen it already. Shit. Oh yeah. Damn it. Now I have to wait till next week to do it. So it's like it's making it go by faster, but I think also it's just going fast in general.
No breaks. They're just plowing right through.
Yeah, man. The last thing I want to say.
No, yeah, man.
The last thing I want to say is we do have some exciting stuff coming up for you in the next couple weeks. We have 2 more episodes left, and we may or may not, I don't want to confirm it because things might, shit might happen. Don't want to confirm it, but we may have some really good interviews coming up.
Or at least some interviews. We can't speak to their quality until after they happen.
The people are really good, with the exception of Brandon. But the rest of everybody is pretty bitching. Yeah. So really excited about that.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Wait for him. It's gonna be great.
Stay tuned. Don't have surgery on those days, is all I'm saying.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We'd love to hear what you guys think about this episode because, as we've mentioned, we are recording in the past. And yeah, so let us know everything that you love about this episode. Comment on the YouTube, send us a message, and we can include those next week when we record. That's it. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. Till next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon.